the way home.
The way to my home.
Aye.
This highway may look to worldly men like it's a road to a bitter end. For we are promised tribulations all along. The difference is easy to explain, for we have everything to gain. So just count me with that number going home. I'll take the old highway.
He would just run, and no one could catch him. So I made a guy, and so when I played my brother, he would do it, and my guy was right there. And then, because I went and looked at his stats, he was at 98, so I made a 99. So it's just like, I caught him. He was so mad, because then it says a ferret caught him.
Pray in faith, believing, and rejoice when answers come. We are thankful when he hears our cry, and we see the works he does. But sometimes we pray for just one thing, that we've made our hearts desire. And when we do not get the yes we want, we forget his ways are higher. Thank you for the times that you said no. All the doors that you have closed. When I prayed for something that you knew would never help me grow. Thanks for loving me enough to protect me from myself. And when my ways had strayed from yours, you showed your perfect plan instead. Lord, I'm thankful for the answered prayers you know. Oh, but thanks for every time that you said no.
Well, I mean, look at that.
As I look back on this life I've lived, I see things that wouldn't be. I think of all the blessings I'd not have had you not protected me. And though sometimes your answer broke my heart and I felt the deepest pain, I didn't know back then what I know now. Everything was for my gain.
Thank you for the times that you said no. All the doors that you have closed.
When I prayed for something that you knew would never help me grow.
Thanks for loving me enough to protect me from myself.
And when my ways had strayed from yours, you showed your perfect plan instead.
Lord, I'm thankful for the answered prayers you know.
But thanks for every time.
Thank you.
Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for another fourth. And Lord, thank you for the freedoms that that our countrymen have fought for. And Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that your son gave us on the cross. Lord, and we thank you for what you're going to do today. We love you and be with the services today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and turn to 585. Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He has trampled out the vineyard where the grapes of wrath is stored. He hath loved the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen the hands of God. Hundreds of times they have built in heaven an altar to the evening dew and dams. I have read his righteous sentence by the dreaming daring lambs. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
On the last.
In the beauty of the lilies, Christ has borne across the sea with the glories in his bosom for the Maker, you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men. Well, God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His marching on.
Amen. You may be seated and turn over to 543. Love lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I'll give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed blessed presence live, ever to praise to sing. Love so mighty and so true, faithful loving service to him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He's your savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, ma'am. All right, hope everybody had a safe 4th of July. All my kids still have their fingers and toes, so praise the Lord for that. Today, July 5th, U.S. celebration with grill and chillin', games and fireworks at Pastor's House from 5 to dark. Evening service will be at Pastor's House at 5. If you don't have the address, it's in the bulletin. Wednesday, July 8th, Bible preaching prayer at 7. Saturday, July 11th, 18th, and 25th, churchwide. Operation Saturation is soul winning, but also all the VBS flyers are out, and there will be a blitz on those days. Everyone is encouraged to come out and help. Sunday, the 12th, the U.S. 250th celebration with a special speaker and a wedding reception for Nathan and Katie at 2 to 4 in the fellowship hall. July 27th through 29th, annual VBS with a VBS team from Heartland will be here. And then Saturday, August 1st, the Sportsman's Clinic in Hastings, Nebraska. And then the 4th through the 6th is the YouthCon trip. So if you don't have your bulletin, there are some in the back. And please remember the prayer requests. They're not on the back today, but if you have last week's, they're on the back last week's. All right.
All right, I hope you all had a good 4th of July yesterday. I'll tell you a little bit of what I did. Sat around, watched TV, or no. I watched the History Channel. I like the History Channel a lot of times, and I looked at, watched some things. Actually, I've seen a good documentary on George Washington. Of course, talked about him last week. It was really good. He was a man that believed in providence. A lot of things happened in his life. He could look back and see how God was in working in all those things. It was good to see Mr. and Mrs. Lindholm with us, the young Lindholms. But good to have you all back and from Florida. We had the opportunity to watch you on TV or on YouTube. And y'all were smiling really big when you left that church. Anyway, so good to have you with us today, all of you, and talking to sergeant recruit over here, and he had an interesting 4th of July as he was looking through some historical things, events, and different things like that. And I was wondering, what'd you all do on the 4th of July? Now, what I like fireworks, but I don't buy fireworks. But anyways, I went out on the porch and we watched looked out the windows and watched our neighbors pop them. And they did a good job. What did you do on the 4th of July? Anybody got something to tell me? Great that you did. Uh-huh. Did you? You didn't go outside. Okay. Yeah, when we had our dog, we didn't go outside either because she was hiding under the bed. It seems like dogs just really don't like fireworks. I don't know what it is about them. But anyway, anybody else do something you did on the 4th of July? Something about Independence Day that you would like to tell me how much you appreciate or don't appreciate. You know, there's a lot of people today that, anyway, but something you like to, something about the 4th, like I said, I like the historical part, a lot of things that happened during those times. In the documentary I was looking at yesterday, and they were talking about Valley Forge, it was so cold and everything. A lot of those guys, supplies, they had very limited supplies, and they were actually, a lot of them, barefooted. They said the enemy could follow them by the blood. You know, that kind of reminds me of the Trail of Blood. It cost something. And the other thing I was thinking about Independence Day, we enjoy the independence that our country gives us. But it doesn't matter where you're at in the world, you can be free and know the liberty that the book gives you, God. That this is where our real freedom comes from, and we need to realize that we're free from tyranny and all those things and the problems that are here in the world and things like that. God has already set us free. That's the real freedom that really changes our lives. And this morning, we're going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And just a little bit of a reminder where we were, which was Luke chapter 6 last week. So anyway, in Luke chapter 6, I got Luke chapter 6 in several places here because Luke chapter 6 had a lot in it. But I was going to, in verse 43 and 40 through 45 there in Luke chapter 6, he talks about here, he says, for a good man bringeth forth not, a good tree bringeth not forth a corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. And he's talking there about how we as Christians need to bring forth good fruit. And God wants us to do that. And he says in verse 46 there, he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? And what he was telling us here is Christians, we need to remember God expects us to follow him in the way that he is patient, unselfish, loving, and the forgiveness and the example of forgiveness. So he shows that's exactly what he was talking about here. He was talking about how important it was that we be an example of the believer. In the next portion of chapter 6, it talks about he gives us the parable of the house upon the rock. And he's telling us and talking here about character. the house that's built upon a rock. It says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and do them, I will show you to whom he is like. This is what he's like, a person that comes to Christ and does the things that he does has to do. He says he is like a man built his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat up. Sometimes if you're in Hawaii, steam may come up. But anyway, streams beat firmly upon that house, and it could not stand, for it was not shaken. Getting the right verse here, was not shaken, for it was founded upon a rock. That's important. And of course, he's talking about we need to build our foundation upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to stand strong on him, and that is with character, with character. And we talked about that a little bit last week, it tells us here the last part of that. It says, verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not, it's like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat firmly, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And so that's what happened when we don't build upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our character, to be able to take the things that Satan throws at us, because Satan is going to put a lot of things in our lives. We don't know what tomorrow holds. A lot of times we don't know what the day holds, or what may come at the end of the day, but God does. And we have a solid rock. I can stand firm and knowing that God's going to take care of things. This week, you know, I had a problem with my transmission in a car. I mean, I couldn't keep transmission fluid in the thing. And it was pouring out. I ended up having to figure, you know, way our thoughts go is, oh, I'm going to have a new transmission, you know, and all this here stuff. But, you know, I finally got it in to the garage, and they looked at it, a couple of tubes that run through the transmission. Both of them broke, and it was just pouring out the fluid. But God took care of it. It was amazing because I was pulling into that transmission place, that car was dead. I mean, it died. That's where it died. I said, well, Lord, this is the place you want me, because this is where I'm at. Anyway, I went in and we got it all fixed and everything. God blesses. He blesses. He can do the things that we don't understand. He can take care of those things. And why? A lot of times because we built on the right foundation. We don't have to worry about the problems of this life. We're built on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and know that he's going to take care of us. And so that was the parable of the house built upon the rock. And so, of course, that's also found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 24 through 27. It's a little bit different in wording, but it's the same example. And everything there. So this morning, though, we are going to be looking at and Luke's gospel. We'll look in Matthew too also, but in Luke's gospel here in chapter 7. Before we get into chapter 7, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you just be with us this morning. Lord, we need you. We're a needy people. There's not one of us in here, Lord, that don't have a need of one thing or another. And Father, I pray that you just work. Lord, I think of John Fry, who's in a care facility. I pray, Lord, you help him to get better. I think of Brad Newman, Lord, went to pick him up, and he's not feeling well this morning. And Father, I think of all those that are having problems, physical problems, Lord, that it's in your hands. You're the one that can take care of those things. And Father, it's beyond us anything we can do. But Lord, we can bring them before your throne and ask you to help them. Father, I ask that you just be with the lesson this morning. as we look at this centurion and the faith that he had. Lord, I pray that you just help us, guide us, and direct us in your word. We know, Lord, that we can do nothing without you. So, Father, I pray that you be with us, that your Holy Spirit would work in a mighty way. We thank you, Lord. We pray that you be with our pastor as he comes in a little bit and brings the message. I ask, Lord, you hide him behind the cross, that, Lord, you help him to preach the word this morning. And we just ask you to have your will and way now in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, here in chapter 7, it says, now when he had ended his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Now, we've seen him first. He was up in the mountain, and he was praying and came down from there and selected the 12 apostles. And that was in chapter 6. And then he went down and began to teach the people there in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, it's the Sermon on the Mount. I knew it was something. It's something simple, because if it's not simple, I wouldn't have forgot it. So he's talking about Sermon on the Mount, and he's coming down from there. And now he's going down to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was a city that he lived in his early ministries. A lot of things are done here in Capernaum. So he's come down to that, and he entered into Capernaum. Verse 2 says, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us synagogues. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, a centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Therefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man sent under authority, having under me soldiers, and I have unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, or he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house and found the servant whole that had been sick. And so in this portion of scripture, we see this centurion there's some things we want to notice here this morning about this. This man has a servant that he knows that this servant is a good servant, and he wants to take care of him. He sees his need. Matter of fact, the Bible says right here in verse 2 that he's ready to die. I think that's important. There's a time we all of us need to be ready to die. This man was ready to die. I don't know exactly what that meant to this man. I don't know his spiritual condition, but I would hope that he was really ready to die. There's sometimes I don't know if people really are ready or not. There's sometimes I think about it, I'm getting up there in age, and sometimes things happen and different things like that. And I ask myself, am I ready to die? Well, I say, Lord, I'm putting it all on you. I put my faith and trust in you. I'm ready if it's your time. Now, if it's not your time, that's fine with me, Lord. You know, so, but are we ready to die? But this man, the Bible says here that this man was ready to die. I think he was very near death. Now, God knows all these things. The Lord knew about this man and knew the situation before the Jews even came and asked him. He knew what was going on. Matter of fact, in Matthew's gospel, a little bit different. It says here in Matthew's gospel, chapter 8, kind of the same thing. And you'll notice there's differences. It happens in the Old Testament, we have 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And a lot of those things are the same stories, but they're different in some ways or another. The same way it is here with the Gospels. Sometimes it's a little different. Matter of fact, in Matthew's Gospel, it says here in verse 5, and so when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now it says here the centurion came, but a little clue in this this portion of Scripture is found here in another verse, verse 10. It says in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed. That went with chapter in Luke chapter 8 or 7 that we're studying here this morning. Remember, he turned to the people and marveled. So it tells us here what that's showing is the servant or the centurion may not have been there. It may be more like what Luke says, that the Jews came. And it's interesting that he would do this, because this man here is a Roman centurion. He is a Gentile. He's a Gentile. And the Jews and the Roman in those days, there was a battle going on. They didn't like the government that they were under. The Romans wanted to take too much of their freedom or that their religious freedoms and different things like that. And there was a problem with the Romans. But this man, they're presenting him here. It says at that the centurion servant was at the ready to die, and it says, and when he heard of Jesus, the centurion, I'm sure he heard of Jesus in the multiple things that the Lord had done, and heard of some of the things, the miracles he had already worked, all these things. He had heard of Jesus. He knew who he was. And so it says here that he sent unto the elders of the Jews. He said the elders of the Jews are going to know where Jesus is at. And so they go to him, and they're the ones that ask them some questions, ask the Lord to help the man. And it says, and when they came to Jesus, they besieged him instantly. And they, in other words, they approached him right away. They went right to the source. Now, the Jews and Jesus sometimes didn't quite get along. The scribes and the Pharisees, they're wanting to put him to death a lot of times we see in the Scripture. But here there was a need. And when there was a need, it's amazing, they knew where to go. They were going to Jesus here, and it says they besought him. And I think that they besought him because the Roman centurion wanted them to seek Jesus, because I believe he knew that he had worked some miracles and was able to do things that they couldn't even comprehend the things that he was doing. And so the Jews here besought him, and they came to him, and he said, this man is worthy. And for one thing we realize about the centurion, one thing that we see here is that he had compassion on his servant. I don't know what the circumstances was with the servant, if he was a close servant, or I'm sure he was, but he had compassion on him. He seen he was in a need. He seen he was ready to die. Now, he may have known that servant and realized that maybe he hadn't put a faith and trust in God yet, and needed and wanted Jesus to come and to that he would not only heal him, but it would help him to gain a belief in God or whatever it was. But he did have compassion, of some sort of compassion, upon this servant, and wanted Jesus to come. And that's the reason why he asked the Jews to talk to Jesus. And then the Jews, they were willing to do it, because this man was worthy. This centurion was a man. He had over 100 men underneath him, plus he had servants and all these things, and so he was a mighty man in the area. But the Jews looked at him and said, he's worthy. You know, it's important that they looked at him and said, he's a valuable man of some sort. And he goes on and tells Jesus why he's worthy. And he says, for he loveth our nation. The centurion loved Israel, loved the Jews. And I think he understood them. I don't know whether he was a prostate Jew, a proselyte Jew or something like that. I don't, it doesn't tell us that in the scripture. I would rather believe that he heard about Jesus and realized that Jesus was Messiah that had come, because there were a lot of teaching in the synagogues and everything about the Messiah. They were always looking for Messiah. And so maybe this man had put Jesus together with the Messiah, although the Jews hadn't done that. But they were still willing to go to Jesus to ask for the help here. And it says, and he loved the nation, and he also was a wealthy man. He built them a synagogue. And from what I was reading in some history, that this synagogue that he built is right where the synagogue is in Capernaum today. As the same location, same area. I doubt it if it's the same one, but it's at least in that same area. The synagogue is still standing. And it says, and when Jesus went with them, so it tells us here Jesus is going with them, and as he went, he saw that are far off the house, and the centurion sent friends to him, and saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. And that's interesting. It was interesting to me the first time I read it, 100 years ago it seemed like, but the first time I read that passage, because that is actually part of the Catholic Mass. There's a part in there where I say, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shalt enter into my house. And I never realized why until I got into scriptures and found out they pulled a little something out. And that's, but anyway, that verse of scripture always thrilled me, sort of, because it shows me that this man here is asking and telling him that he wasn't worthy. And nobody's worthy. Nobody is worthy of what God has done for us. And he says, he goes on and explains it. I think through some of this, you can find out how the man's faith is built. God works in many ways. We'll look at the book of Romans in just a little bit here and show you some scripture. It says, he tells him, he has other soldiers there in verse 7. It says, but say, he says in a word, and my servant shall, he says, say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 8 says, for I also am a man under, a set under authority. He understood his rank. He understood his call in life, or whatever it was here. He understood. He was a man under authority. In other words, he had commanders that told him what to do, and he had to go and do that and fulfill the work. And so he was a soldier. He was a soldier. And because of that, he had to believe whatever he was told and do what he was told to do. And he said, just like that, he said, I also a man under authority, having under me soldiers. He had the soldiers under him. In other words, he had to tell those soldiers to do some things, and those soldiers went and did them because that was their order. Isn't that right, Sergeant? That you're told to do it, and you go and do it, right? Uh-huh. I remember. Sorry, the Lord's calling. That's Pastor. See what he wants. I hung up on him. I'm sorry. But it was Pastor. I wonder what he's doing in the office now. Anyway, but anyway, maybe he caught something I said you want to fix it. But anyway, where was I at? I was behind the pulpit here. Okay, soldiers. He had a lot of soldiers. Yeah, Sergeant, you get told an order and you have to do it, right? I remember when I was in the Marine Corps during basic training, they always do stuff during basic training that you think, why do you do that? My drill instructor said, go find me a Phillips head screwdriver. It should be down over here. You know how far down that over there was? It was further than I could imagine. I kept going to different places trying to find a Phillips head screwdriver. Nobody found. I mean, 2 hours later, and of course I get back by that time, and everybody's just looking at me, where you been? And I said, well, I took a break. You had an order. You went and did it. Sometimes you had to figure out how to get it done and everything, find the right place and different things like that. But you had an order, you follow the order. And so he says that I have soldiers that are under me, and I tell him to do something. I say, go, and he goeth. And another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this or do that. And when Jesus heard these things, he told him, this man understands following orders. Now, it's very important. I just had a conversation with one of my grandsons this week, and they said, you know, they're getting ready to go to school and different things. He's getting ready to go to college. And he said, I got a job. Now mom and dad want me to do this and that. And dad said I had to do this. And I said, you know what? Who's your authority? Your dad. You do what he says. And then, you'll have to work it out with the job or whatever you're doing. But dad has the authority. And so it's important. Jesus seen that this man understood this. He was under authority, and he did what he was supposed to do, and he had authority. Not only was he under authority, but he had authority himself to tell people to do things, go dig that ditch, and stuff that, the person has no idea why they're digging the ditch, but they'll fill it up later. But anyway, that's another Marine thing. You just do it. And so he learned that they followed orders. He watched his servants. Not only was that man gave the orders, but he watched his servants because he knew they did it. He seen that they followed his orders. And just like that, he says, Lord, I'm not worthy of you. He said, I all you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And so the Lord looks at this and hears what he's saying and realizes the faith that the man has. And I don't know exactly how his faith was built. I believe that he probably was had been going to the synagogue and hearing what the Jews had said. I knew about the commandments that God had given and what the things that they were supposed to do and these things. And he but he had a faith in Jesus. He put his faith in what the Lord said. Lord, he told him, if you'll just speak the word, you don't have to come under my roof, but speak but the word, and my servant will be healed. And then verse 9 says, and when Jesus heard these things, he marveled. He marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. He hadn't even seen that among his people, that they were willing to follow, to do whatever they were told to do. I believe today that the Lord can look at us and say exactly the same thing. He doesn't see the faith that we need to have. The Bible tells us a lot about faith. We turn to Hebrews chapter 11, of course, the faith chapter, the heroes of faith here. A lot of these people in this chapter believed God, and they did what God asked them to do. But he tells us in the first verse, what is faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So it's things we don't see, but we know that God has the power to do it. There's a lot of things God has the power to do, but we just don't understand it. There's a lot of things that the Lord puts us through some things sometimes and gives us testing and different things like that. We don't understand, but we need to have faith that God does. God does. He's going to take care of those things and just believe him. And the Bible also tells us here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This is a very important verse of scripture in this 11th chapter. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's pretty strong. We don't have faith to believe God. And it says it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. This is things we must believe. And it says we must believe that he is able, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Half the verse went out of my scripture. Too many people walking around the back, I guess. So, let's look at the verse again. One more time, I'll get my head on track here. Okay, in this verse it tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Please God. It's impossible without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that God is. A problem with America today, I believe, and what I see, is a lot of people forget there is a God in heaven. They just don't want to believe God. They don't want to trust him. And a lot of times, it's like the Apostle Paul or Peter said to the Lord when the Lord came to him and said, are you going to leave me also? When a lot of the disciples left and followed him no more. And he asked the disciples, the apostles, are you going to leave me also? And Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? You're the one with the words of life. It's all in looking at how what God has for us. He is the one. He is the only one that has the words of life that we can know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We know that he's going that we just need to continue seeking his will and getting the understanding from him, because he's the one. He's the one that tells us in the book of Proverbs that he's the wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 8 and 9, all of that talks about wisdom. Actually, it started in, I just read the other day, chapter 4, I think, yesterday. But anyway, in in Proverbs chapter 8 and 9, it talks about the wisdom that God has. Wisdom is the chief thing. It says, verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and evil away, and a forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign. It's talking about wisdom. And without wisdom, it's impossible to please God. We need to realize that God wants us to be wise. And here in Hebrews, where it said that we need to, one more time. I mean, without faith, it talks about faith. And when we have faith, then we have the wisdom of God. Again, wisdom is looking at things through God's eyes. That's what it is. You want to have wisdom, look in the Word of God and see what God says about it, and that's what we believe. That's what we need to believe. And it tells us that that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we are right there in chapter 7. We've seen this, and the Lord says he marveled in this verse 9. And the word marvel is only used twice in the scripture, and once is found in in Mark chapter 6 and verse 6, I knew I wrote it down, I just couldn't see it. Mark chapter 6 or the Lord only used this word marvel twice. 6 and verse, I think it's verse 6. Where did I write it again? Yeah, verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. There's one time where he's marveling because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. And so, again, verse 5 kind of tell you who he's talking about here. And it says in verse 4, it said, when Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kindred, and is his in his own house. But he could there do not mighty works have save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And the next verse says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. They're talking actually. What city was he in? Nazareth, I think, is where he was at that time. But anyway, and this place here, now he's marveling at the man's faith that he has, at this man's faith. So we're going to stop right there, and next week we'll pick it up there. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day. We ask, Lord, that you be with the service to come. Be with our pastor, Lord, I pray you do hide him behind the cross, that your word would be lifted up and glorified, that we might see Christ in you. Father, I pray that if there's any that comes in, Lord, that do not know you as their personal Savior, that this morning they may hear the gospel message, may call upon your name and accept you as their personal Savior. Father, we pray that you'd just be with us. Help us, Lord, to honor you and glorify you in all the things we do. We ask in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.